welcome everybody to another episode of Yankees and Gravy. I'm your host, Tommy Casabona. Thank you so much for tuning in. Appreciate it. A couple of plugs at the top. As always, the biggest one, the most important one, iTunes. Subscribe, please. All you have to do is download the podcast app for iTunes. Once you have that downloaded, you search for Yankees and Gravy. I'll come up. You'll be able to just subscribe very, very easily, and I will come up in your, on your phone every time there's a, you see a blue dot in your podcast app next to Yankees and Gravy. You'll know that they got a, we got a fresh gravy in the pot for you. So hopefully you'll enjoy that. Also, like I said, we want to make this interactive. So please email me directly at yankeesandgravy@gmail.com. I saw a couple of the emails coming in. I got two or three of them. Want to have like at least five or six, maybe make a segment out of it. So hopefully by next time we'll have a couple more. We'll read them all at once and we'll get this thing interactive. Guys gotta kick me in the teeth a little bit. I could tell you right now that I can go back and listen to these podcasts, even in the last two or three alone. I've said some stupid shit, guys, and nobody's calling me out on it. I want to see some, I want some trolling going. Give me some of the, you know, the proverbial business, as they say. So that's that. I'm messing around with the microphone levels. I think when I listened to the last couple back, I felt as though the levels were a little high, a little over modulating. I do not have an engineering crew. In my bedroom as I record this at 3 a.m. But we're going to do our best to give you the best content, the best sound quality, and overall the best podcast, the best fake radio program you guys have ever had. Yankees and Gravy, we're talking Yankee baseball. Like we talk about, not a lot of people are doing this, guys. There's a couple out there I found since you guys emailed me and showed me that there were a couple. And quite frankly, I'm going to freaking say it, guys. I'm not impressed. Not impressed with what's out there. I'm telling you right now, this is where you want to be, Yankees and Gravy. Getting better each week. There is a high learning curve that's going to be coming along with this. And you're going to be enjoying this more and more every day. And when you got me on the radio and I'm doing overnights at the fan, you guys are going to say you knew me back when. All right. Enough of that pipe dream. Let's get into it. Went to the batting cages yesterday. Yesterday meaning Sunday, because I'm doing this late night Monday, which is technically early Tuesday morning. But Sunday, went to the batting cages over at Randall's Island. It's this little island, for those of you who are listening to me overseas. Believe it or not, there are a couple. It's this little island right between Manhattan and the Bronx. You can basically see the Manhattan and the Bronx from Randall's Island. It's almost like Wild West when it comes to New York City, because you could actually go there and you could feel like you're not in New York City. You're in a park. It's called the Randall's Island Golf Center, and I discovered it maybe like a month ago. And I'm going to be honest with you, this place is paradise. You go down, it's hard to get to and hard to get out of, which is annoying as hell. But it's got fields. It actually has fields, baseball fields, where you can actually you space spread out where you can kind of, and the views are nice. Well, anyway, this Randall's Island Golf Center has mini golf, like a real deal mini golf course, but not one of those, you know, ones off the side of the highway you see, or the ones at the top of the cruise ship. It's nice, very, very nice place. They have also a short game area. They have some private party areas. They have beach volleyball, horseshoes, and of course about 10-12 batting cages. And they also have a double-decker driving range, and that's really nice because you kind of get a view of the Hudson River and a couple of the bridges, and you're kind of whacking golf balls. I am I'm not a bad golfer. I am an abominable. I don't even know if that's a freaking word. I know it's not abdominal. Abominable, like whatever that snowman was. I'm an abominable golfer. I'm terrible. When I hit the ball, it's not like I have to worry about, man, I got a hell of a slice, or I can't hit the ball up in the air and far. Now, I mean, I can hit a baseball, but I can't hit golf balls. I tried again the other day, and it just doesn't work out for me. So, you know, you gotta know what you can do and what you can't do. So yeah, I went over to the cages and I was like, saw the very fast. It didn't look too fast to me, but I just want you guys to all know, in case it was keeping you up, whether or not my skills have dwindled away or not, or you know what's left of, you know, the old magic stick. The kids still got it, guys. Now I'll tell you, I think they got to come in at least 85-90 out of this very fast. But I think you got to add a little bit on because there's no way it's 60 feet 6 inches away. So it's probably like around 50-55 feet. And it's at least 85-90. That's what they told me. The guy's like, it's 85-90. So that's got to be a little bit over 90. You got to give me a couple of miles per hour off that. Now I got in there and I made contact with pretty much almost all of them. I fouled off a couple. The first couple I made solid contact with, but you know they would have flew right over second base, obviously a little late. And by the end of the by the end of the first token, 30 balls, I was cranking them out to center field. I didn't really get around on them like I wanted to, but I was driving them hard, driving them out to center field. Felt pretty good about the day. All right, that's it. The glory days. That was the glory days portion of the podcast, and that portion is mercifully over. A couple other things, I guess, non-Yankee stuff. Francesa, all you Francesa fans out there, you got to be fan. I guarantee if you're listening to this, you're kind of a fan of Francesa because, you know, the guy, like I said, I know the guy is an asshole. I know the guy abuses his callers. I love the rawness about him. I love the way the guy just gets on the mic, opens his Diet Coke, and just starts spewing out sports. And that's all he wants to do. He doesn't want you to say how's your day going. He doesn't want to BS with you about any, you know, celebrity gossip. He doesn't want to joke around. He wants, hey, what's on your mind, pal? What do you do? Hey, Mike, I really love the show. Yeah, what's on your mind? You know, he just doesn't want it to be about him. Can that be considered somewhat crass or like, you know, asshole-ish? I guess so. But something about me just kind of respects what the guy just is doing what he wants to do for a living. He's very, very good at it. And yeah, he's not the most warm bedside manner type of guy. He just reminds me of a freaking uncle. You know what I mean? If you're from New York, Mike Francesa reminds you of, like, you know, that uncle you had that you knew he had a soft side inside and you knew he was looking out for you. But am I getting freaking too? Do I have a man crush on Mike Francesa? I probably do. What do you want me to tell you? I'm not here to freaking sugarcoat it or hide it from you. Mike Francesa. To those of you who don't know who Mike Francesa is, he is a radio personality on WFAN, an institutionalized radio station that basically rewrote the book. I mean, wrote the book on sports talk radio, and basically, starting in, I guess in the late 80s, created a model for a format that every major city, every city probably in the country uses now, which is a 24-hour sports talk radio station. They made a lot of mistakes in the beginning, and Francesa had been with them since the beginning pretty much, and he's been going strong for like 30 years. He's an institution. He was part of the show Mike and the Mad Dog. They broke up about 7-8 years ago. Mike's still killing it. Mad Dog's somewhere out in the satellite world on Sirius. But, you know, I just listened to them. So what happened today, I don't know how this guy's with them for 30 years and he's at war with the company now. He's at war with WFAN. He was the man there, the mayor, Francesa, the Pope, Big Mike. He was the guy that held down the radio. And about 7-8 years ago, Imus got fired and Boomer and Carton came along. And, you know, Boomer doesn't give a shit, but Carton is just an antagonist. And I like the show. I listen to the show. But unfortunately, they just give my boy Mike just, you know, they give him hell every chance they get. They impersonate him. They talk shit about him. You know, sometimes it seems like it's, or at least in the beginning, sometimes it seemed like it was all in good fun. But I feel like it's gotten a little bit more mean-spirited over the years as they've kind of like clashed a little bit. And I think the reason Mike is at war with his radio station, WFAN, is because he's just not getting he's not getting support from management. A guy like Francesa, I would imagine with his tenure, probably would like to be able to say to management, shut these guys up today. And it doesn't look like that's happening because Boomer and Carton are very successful in the morning. So I guess That's not happy. So whatever, whatever. Francesca is not happy. He's talking about maybe getting back together with Mad Dog. Either way, there's a sports talk, CBS Sports Minute, that comes on, I guess, as a bumper between commercials and the show. And it's usually just one of their radio personalities on the mic giving maybe a minute-long commentary on some relevant new sports thing that's going on. The other day, this guy's on there. He's BA or something like that. I don't know who the hell the guy is either. Francesca is right. But he comes back off a break and just does a commentary on the commentary, which I actually was shocked about. But he goes, first of all, the guy basically came out and spoke out against Hulk Hogan. So Francesca goes, first of all, who cares? Why are you telling me that you're against what Hulk Hogan said? I mean, is that a newsflash? Is that like, what were you supposed to say? You know what? I support Hulk Hogan. What he said was great. And he's like, and then what's with the initials? BA? Why is that on my show? And then supposedly the reaction, and including Boomer Esiason, one of the guys in the morning, is that they're going to basically, all the guys who do these stupid little commentaries are going to band together and just use all their initials, and, you know, in protest of Francesca. Francesca goes, bring it on. He's a beast. He's one guy. He's not the most popular guy of all. He's not one of the guys. He's not cool. He's not hip. He's not nothing. He's basically the dude who just sees the Frank Sinatra of sports talk radio. I guess that's not a good comparison because then he'd be cool. But no, he doesn't try to be cool. He's not trying to be anything but a guy who talks sports in your face. I recommend listening to him. You can check him on iTunes. iTunes Radio has him on, and I'm sure WFAN.com streams him as well. Okay, speaking of that, Hulk Hogan, that was crazy, huh? I mean, I don't know what he actually said. I still haven't seen it. It sounded like he was trying to talk his way out of, I guess, being a racist while you still using racist terminology. I mean, I don't know. Maybe he's just stupid, but it sucks because, listen, you know, the reality is everybody, when you're amongst your peers, let's say, has things to say. Maybe a word sneaks in that you wouldn't say if another, you know, it's not, you know, it's not, you're not a racist. You're not a racist if you do that. Now, Hulk Hogan sounds like his stuff was pretty, you know, pretty substantial. It sounds like you can't just say that over and over again. And I do think he crossed the line. And I do think that there's no excuse for the language he used. But I will say, it's just, I guess the only thing I'm saying is that I'm not a proponent of it, or I'm not saying he should be, you know, excused at all. I just hate this freaking politically correct society where free speech just seems to be like down the drain. If you say the wrong thing, not even if you say the wrong thing, and Hulk Hogan said the wrong thing, let me be clear, and we'll touch on Colin Cowherd too, but Hulk Hogan said the wrong thing, but even if he didn't, even if he hadn't said, even if he said something edgy, you know, He would, in the right groups, deemed that as something that was the wrong thing. You know what I mean? If the perception of corporate America was that you said the wrong thing and you started losing sponsors, then you know what? Basically, you're blacklisted, and that's kind of what happened. You know what I mean? And the funny thing is, the other thing is screwed up about is the double standard. If you've ever watched a roast, if you've ever heard a comedian, basically at the end of the day, all these guys are performers. You're on the radio, you're a performer. If you're a wrestler, you're a performer. You're, you know, all these guys, you know, in these roasts, they just go in. They go in hard. But it's a roast. It's comedy. So it's funny. So it's you know, they give you a pass. Colin Cowherd, I'll say this about him. Now, I think, here's what I think. I think he talked himself out of it. I think he would, if you listen to the whole thing, I think he very, very keenly found the loophole and explained himself in the middle of his diatribe. Now, I think he fucked up. I think he said the wrong thing, and I think that, you know, he if it wasn't for him kind of like that alarm going off that he just, uh-oh, I just said that, he wouldn't have had the, you know, he wouldn't have. But since he knew that what he said came off very, very bad, I think the alarm went off, and he very keenly talked his way out of it. So I think he technically on paper saved himself, but I agree. You know, he basically – what he meant was you don't have to be a genius to coach baseball. Look, the Dominicans do it. And then he realized he probably, well, what I mean is that, you know, they're not, you know, privy to the best education, and they're not, come on, Colin, you screwed it up. But, I mean, I really think he kind of, if you listen to the whole thing, he kind of adeptly talked his way out of it, if you want to get technical. But I kind of agree that I don't think he meant to or would have had he not realized that he may have just made a big mistake when he stepped in that pile of doo-doo, when he, you know, basically said the initial comments. You can hear them anywhere, YouTube, anywhere, whatever. Let's get into some Yankees. We're talking a lot of gravy right now, aren't we? Let's go Yankees. Speaking of, you know, thank God the podcast is appropriately named, because if you are a Yankee fan, it is all gravy right now. I mean, we're still on a roll. What are we now? I don't know. Lost. It'll be like 7 out of the last 8 or something like that. A full 7 games up. That is crazy. We're talking about 3.5 up at the All-Star break, 4.5 before. We're 7 games up right now. This is, you know, you don't ever want to be like, you know what, we're comfortable, we're going to coast. No. But a 7-game lead in the division at this point in, you know, right before August is pretty solid. What happened today? So A-Rod hit only 1 home run today. How great was that the other day, man? I was sitting with my dad in Long Island, and my dad's not the biggest Yankee fan at all. He watches from periphery, and he is interested when I talk about it, and he's interested to see where they are as far as how they're doing, but he doesn't watch the games or whatever. But so he's we're watching, and we turn it on. I'm like, wow, A-Rod's got 2 home runs, and I turned it on after he had already hit 2 home runs because we were running around doing some family stuff. That was my first words were, oh, A-Rod's up. Oh, wow, he has 2 home runs today already. My dad just sitting there being the novice baseball. Probably making sense, says, well, because the Yankees were still down by a run. Well, that stinks, because you know he's not going to get 3, you know, basically saying it sucks that he's up right now because we could use a home run, and it's probably not going to come from him, because what are the chances that he hits 3? As soon as he finishes the thought, boom, it is far. It is high. It is far. It is gone. See ya. However one of you want to freaking say it. Alexander Emmanuel Rodriguez blasts a monster home run over the center field wall, tying the game. And, of course, we know what happened after that. John Ryan Murphy puts the icing on the cake. We win 8-5. I was going back with this girl on Twitter because we had lost to the Twins. And then we were down 5-0, and by her profile, she fancies herself a big Yankee fan, and she just starts tweeting this freaking garbage, like, oh, I see, we can't beat the good teams, we don't have this, we don't have that, we're sure we need this, we need that. I'm like, you know, no offense, girls, I know you're inherently a little more on the emotional side. You know, if I had sponsors right now, 3 of them, I would have just lost 3 of them. Sorry. But you can't judge these freaking things game by game. And I was so happy the Yankees came back because, you know, basically, where are we at now? We still won the series. We looked like we were going to blow the whole series, and we salvaged it and won. And what did I say on the last podcast, you guys? Come on. Remember? What I say we needed, one of the things we were missing, out of the few things that I'd like to see, and, you know, even as good as we're doing, these are some things that concern me. One of the things was the close games, the come-from-behind dramatic wins. We haven't had a lot of mystique in aura, home or away. And I think when you're going to make a serious run, remember in 2009 we had a ton of mystique and aura with the freaking AJ Burnett, you know, shaving cream pies or whatever. We haven't had a lot of that. We've been a good, solid blue-collar team, but we haven't had those high-level, high-emotional wins that really, really, A, bring the team together, and B, give you a sense of, you know, you're never out of it. So we got that. We got that the other day. That was Saturday. And couldn't came soon enough. We loved it. It was great to watch. I went into work Saturday night feeling really, really good about our New York baseball Yankees. Who else today? Nova looked pretty good today. He always looks like he starts off a little slow. I guess he started off okay, but then the second inning he got roughed up. When I went to the game last week, I felt like, you know, the first couple of hitters, it looked like it was going to be a long day because they were just like swatting it like they were at a batting cage. And it seems like he settles in later on. Didi Gregorius, I was just about to give up on him too because I just don't think he hits a lot. But then I also don't think he screws up in the field so much. He does make some errors. That's not my problem, but I want him to make some of those spectacular plays, and he doesn't. See, Headley gives you that. Headley will screw up a lot, but he will also make the spectacular play. Gregorius running in with a bare hander, going in the hole. He'll botch a lot of balls, and you know some of the stuff that you'd like to see. Despite the errors, you don't mind that. You know, you'll forgive some of the errors if you could exchange it for some spectacular plays. Gregorius doesn't even give us that. So, however, today, 4 RBIs, a career high. What did he get, 4 hits today? I think he had 4 hits. Looked fantastic. Storyline today, Tex. That was awkward, man. See, Tex has a reputation. Every time, this is one of the first times I've ever kind of caught it. Tex gets into a lot of scraps with other players. He's getting thrown at a lot. He's getting into arguments. And you always like wonder, you know, where there's smoke, there's fire. And it takes two to tangle. And you're always wondering why that's happening, because you see a pretty smiling, happy-go-lucky guy. You saw a little bit of the dickhead in Tex today, you know? He's got the third freaking base coach, Joe Espada. I mean, the guy made a freaking mistake. Tex is rounding third. Espada makes the horror, and he's right. It's a bit, you can't have that, and it's not excusable, but that's for Girardi to take him in the office and say, hey, what the hell you doing, man? It's not for Tex to freaking, you know, he got thrown out at home. He was probably embarrassed. He was also actually probably pissed because an inning or two ago, he got freaking robbed of a home run. And he's in a home run. He's in a team home run race with Alex Rodriguez. So every home run counts. And he's actually starting to slip in the stats in RBIs. He was pretty much leading the league for most of the year in RBIs. And now he's like fourth or fifth or something like that. But he was probably pissed off about that home run, that the guy robbed his home run. That probably is absolutely true. So he's rounded third, headed for home, a brown-eyed handsome man. You know the song. Sorry, stop, back up. All right, so he's rounding third. He's heading for home. The third base coach, as I said, Joe Espada, is telling him, easy, 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 easy. So Tex lets up, thinking he's got, you know, an easy way, you know, an easy route to home and no problem. Ends up getting thrown out. And I guess in the motion of it, he motions over to the guy at third base and starts screaming at him, gesturing to him, this and that. Kind of a dickhead move, but you can kind of understand, you know, wait a minute, hold on. I want to score this run. The team needs the run, and I can score the run, but this guy tells me to start jogging. I start jogging. There's a play at the plate. Now I look like a freaking asshole and look like I'm dogging it. So I see that. I see that whole thing. But then after the game, what he probably should have just said was, you know, we were just not on the same page. I think we saw some different things, and he kind of held me up, and there was a miscommunication there. That's probably what I would have done. You know, who's Jose Espada? Oh, Joe Espada. What, are you going to embarrass the guy? The guy's for, you know. But Tex didn't go that route. Tex went, yes, he sent me. He sent me, and he shouldn't. And that can't happen. That can't happen. He apologized. I don't expect it to happen again. You know, whatever. Little bit of a dickhead. Little bit. You know, you're not going to – I love Tex. You're not going to friggin', you know, get on him too bad. But Tex, yeah, you were a little bit of an asshole there to your, you know, to your third base coach. And Joe Espada tweeted, I guess, later on, it was my fault. It was my fault. Yes, damn right. It was your fault. But Tex didn't have to play you like that. I was talking about, that's a legit home run battle between Tex and A-Rod. What does A-Rod have? Like, he not only is this guy got 24 home runs, he's on fire with the home runs lately, and look where he's putting these things. He's not hitting cheap ones. He's not hitting fly ball drifters over the short porches. He's drilling moonshots, line drives, out into center field, out into right center, left center, 450, 460, 480. This guy, I mean, you'd think he's on juice. I don't know why you'd ever have that suspicion about him, but if I didn't know him any better as the quality, upstanding gentleman he is, I might suspect that he might be taking PEDs right now. That's a joke. No, but I'm sure he's not. I guess, I mean, unless it's some brand new stuff that he's been guaranteed that I don't know. He's a freak right now. He's 40 years old. When's the last time someone did this at 40 years old that we know 100% wasn't attached to PEDs? I'd like to know that. I guess we'll never know that if they're definitely not. But you know Bonds, Sean McGuire, Sosa maybe. I don't know who. I don't know. I want to know that. Write me. Email me. Guys, email me. YankeesandGravy@gmail.com. I want to know who, or even on PEDs, who at 40 years old has been on this much of a run hitting home runs at the end of their career like this? I don't know. All right, some of the trades that have been going on. Like I said, this is a Yankees podcast and it's a Gravy podcast. I am not going to run around and act like I'm freaking Peter Gammons or John Heyman, and I know, you know, the depth chart of all the freaking teams in the in Major League Baseball. I'm a heartfelt, soulful Yankee fan from the 80s. I live and breathe the Yankees, and because of that, I pay attention at a distance to the peripherally to the rest of the league. And during this time of year, you're going to start picking up stuff because it is the trade deadline and you're hearing these names. So what has happened so far? Tulo for Reyes just happened tonight. That's a blockbuster right there. Tulowitzki goes from the Rockies to the Blue Jays, and the Blue Jays send Reyes to the Rockies. That's an interesting one. I don't know. I don't get the move by the Blue Jays only because, A, Tulowitzki gets hurt a lot. He's got to play on AstroTurf now, and that's going to be harder on him. And the biggest and most important thing is that the Blue Jays have never had a problem scoring runs. So they're going to score some more runs. They're going to increase that, you know, major league leading run differential, and they're probably still going to lose unless this was a move to just acquire more chips and be able to trade somebody else for some pitching, or maybe even just flip Tulo. You could probably get a good pitcher for Tulo, probably a better pitcher than you'd be able to get for Reyes. So maybe that's the move, but they need some pitching, and that's what they got to go after, and, you know, whatever. Speaking of people who need more, what a change 3 days makes for these Mets. So first they get Kelly Johnson and Juan Uribe. And I listen to Sports Talk Radio while I'm at work, and I listen and I talk to my friends, watch SportsCenter. If I hear the words, they got professional major leaguers or major league hitters, or they got big league hitters. They have official major leaguers. Is the standard that low that I got to hear from every freaking sports talk radio guy, ESPN, anybody who thinks they know anything about anything in base? You know, what we did was we went out and got two professional hitters. Kelly Johnson was with the Yankees. We freaking cut him. The guy can't hit. I mean, maybe he's hot right now. Maybe he's going to get a little hot. Maybe he's the nice guy. Maybe he's miles better than what they got because I don't freaking watch the Mets every day. But, I mean, I'm sorry. Not necessarily going to get, you know, he's not a starting major league player. Kelly Johnson's not a starter. He shouldn't be a starter. Juan Uribe, I don't know much about him. But from what I hear is he is a starter. He is a good, solid major league baseball player. And he does have some rings. Probably brings a good good vibe to the clubhouse and probably is a good guy to have around. I'm not saying Kelly Johnson's not a good guy to have around, but, I mean, the fact that you got Kelly Johnson and Juan Uribe and all of a sudden now, you know what, we're good. But they're not really saying that, I guess. They're saying that, you know, it's a good step in the right direction and they still need another bat if they want to be taken seriously as any type of contender this year. They also got Tyler Clippard, former Yankee farmhand. One of the most promising pitchers we had in our farm system for a long time, and then we got rid of him. I don't know where we got rid of him to. I don't know who we got for him. I forgot. I probably should. Another thing to yell at me about when you email me tonight. Cueto goes to the Royals. That is a good move for the Royals. It makes them pretty scary if Cueto can make that adjustment from the National League to the American League. You know, there's usually a little bit of a drop off. He had some inconsistencies. I mean, the guy has lights out stuff, lights out potential, front end of the rotation potential, but he is not a guarantee. He's not, you know, he's going to throw you maybe two, three gems, and then he's going to give you a clunker. Three gems and then a clunker. So it's not like, you know, like a Pettit who Pettit was good for a couple of clunkers too, I guess, right? But I mean, as opposed to the guy who's a little bit more kind of consistent, maybe not as dynamic, dominant, and, you know, he doesn't throw as many gems, but, you know, you're going to get a steady stream of quality starts. Cueto's not that guy. You know, Cueto, like I said, never could come to the Yankees. You know he's not shaving that head of hair. And I guess it's only a matter of time with this freaking new regime, Cashman, Randy Levine, you know, little junior boss. I bet they're going to, you know, they've already kind of like changed the way they do things from the way the boss did things. I bet it's only a matter of time before they lift that long hair and beard rule as well. I'm sure that's coming soon. But I love it that it's here. I love the fact that we don't have our numbers on the back of our jerseys. I love the fact that you got to get a freaking haircut before you come here. And I love the fact that we don't live it. I have a freaking beard, guys. I got a beard. But I just love the fact that the Yankees, it's just another thing that separates them apart from the rest of the league. And you know what? If you don't like it, too bad. I like it. I love it. I want some more of it. It's Tim McGraw. What else? Astros get Kazmir. Again, I'm a Yankee fan. The Astros been dormant for so long. I can never get used to the freaking Astros being in the American League. Anybody else have that issue? Probably not. Whatever. I do. But they get Kazmir from the A's. That's a really, really good pickup. That's strong. That makes them better. I don't know. It's hard for me to get scared of the Astros. In general, long term, I know they're playing very, very well, and it's hard for me to get scared of the people like the Twins. There's just certain teams you just don't fear. The teams that I fear, that I'm afraid of, that I just don't want to see late in the postseason are, you know, I guess the main three are like Texas, Detroit, and Anaheim back in the day. Like those three teams, I always see them and I'm like, damn, they're a hump to get over. But the Astros, not so much. The Twins, not so much. The Indians, usually not. I mean, they got us a couple of times. You can't really, you know, they got us a couple of times. But I'm not long-term afraid of the Indians. So that means the Yankees are probably going to get nobody of note. This is what we said before, too. It's like, who could they get? They're not going to give up their four stars, right? Their four, I guess, you know, I think you're talking about Severino. You're talking about Judge. Severino's the pitcher, AAA. Judge is a right fielder, AAA. A Bird is a first baseman, AAA. And you got Mateo in A-ball as a shortstop. They just love this kid, Mateo. And I guess they're not giving up anybody. They would give up Sanchez, and I'm pretty sure they would give up Ref Snyder. But I think it's going to take more of the former group than the latter if you want to pick up a Hamels or a who's still out there? Price. Price would be great, man, if we can get Price. But, I'm either way on it. I'm not trying to be a freaking pass the buck guy, but I go definitely down the middle. If I woke up tomorrow morning and they told me that we traded Judge for Price, I'd kind of be a little hyped. I'm not going to be honest with you. You know what? But if they don't, I'd be like, yeah, smart. You know, don't mortgage your future. I get it. So I'm a little torn in the middle of the road on that one, flip flop and whatever you want to call it. You know, I don't respect my stance on that either. But it is what it is. So we'll see what happens. I do think you can't. But the thing is, it's like all or nothing because you don't want to get another freaking third or fourth starter because you're already in a situation right now where you don't know who your third starter is if you go on a three game series, right? Because you can make a case for all three guys. You know Patena and you know Tanaka's in, and then you're talking about the back end three where you have CeCe, who makes the most money and he's got the best experience, but he is probably the worst guy pitching right now out of the three, but he's got the best experience, makes the most money, and you know, trustworthy guy. You'd also make a case for Evaldi. How would you not make a case for a guy who's freaking 10-2? And only seems to be getting better, right? So, I mean, if I'm Evaldi, I'm saying how the hell would you not pick me? Or you could pick Nova because Nova probably out of the three of them, if I needed one game and I needed somebody to start and I needed this game to win, Nova might be the guy that I would pick out of all three of them. Because, no, he's not explosive like Eovaldi, but his ERA blows Eovaldi's away. And, again, I don't, frankly just don't trust CC right now. So all three of those guys, it's going to be a tough decision as to who makes that, you know, short series rotation. So why get another one of those guys? Why get another guy that you're going to have to friggin' make another dilemma for yourself, and now you got a fourth guy you got to choose from? No. To me, it's either you get a front-end guy or you get nobody. Or you go get a reliever. You know what I mean? That's probably what they're going to end up doing, just getting a freaking junk ball right-handed reliever that that will help the team. But it's, you know, excuse me, it's not going to be sexy. You know, it's not going to be like that move you want. Sexy out of the bullpen? You still keep hearing about Hamels and Chapman. But I don't get it. I don't know. I guess if you can get either one of those guys, and then who else are you hearing too lately? This other guy? Wait, what'd I say? No. Chapman or Kimbrel. Chapman or Kimbrel. You're still hearing about them, but you're talking about two studs. You know what I mean? You gotta either check their ego. It's gotta be already predetermined that they won't close before they get here. Or you have to do one hell of a sell job to Andrew Miller as to why he's no longer the closer of this baseball team. I don't know. I mean, that's a tough sell either way. And you're definitely disrupting the dynamic of that bullpen. Maybe in a good way, but maybe in a bad way. And do you need to do that right now? Do you need to take the chance and possibly even enter the possibility of disrupting the chemistry or disrupting the confidence of anybody in that bullpen? I don't know. That's about it. Well, I want to touch on the Hall of Fame. Congratulations to the four players who made the Hall of Fame, which are Randy Johnson, Pedro Martinez, John Smoltz, and Craig Biggio. I will go on record and agree with some of the people that I've heard say, I'm not a Biggio proponent for him being in the Hall of Fame. I think the Hall of Fame is a special place. I think the Hall of Fame is for people who dominated their position in their era. I think the Hall of Fame is for people who have, dynamic statistics, dynamic presence on the field, and real difference makers. Biggio was a very good player, a really, really good player, but Biggio was a compiler. He, amassed over 3,000 hits over 20 years. The guy hit, what'd he hit, around 280, 270, 280? Over the course of 20 years, he hit 270, 280? What did this guy do that was that great? The guy shouldn't be in the Hall of Fame, sorry. No offense, I have no problem with Craig Biggio as a person, and I'd take him on my team any day. But Hall of Fame? Come on. I don't think so. That is about it. Once again, please follow me on Twitter at Yankees and Gravy. Email me, yankeesandgravy@gmail.com. Facebook, it's just straight Yankee Gravy. That's the username. Yankee first name, Gravy last name. Most importantly, please on iTunes, if you could follow, if you can comment, if you could share, if you could subscribe, those are things that are all going to help me out. Again, I'm trying to get better. It's a pleasure to bring this to you guys each and every week. Thank you guys for listening, and we will talk to you next time. Yankees and Gravy. Take care.